Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Republicans about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Thank you very much. Majority Thursday in session. Senator Stephen Thane from District 8 is here from Emmett, along with the Majority Caucus Chair, Representative John Vanderwood from District 22. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Paul Jay?
What are you guys working on right now to try to get out of here on time?
Well, with the Senate having passed the tax bill out of the committee, it looks like we may be able to get here on time. We've told basically all our House members that, you know, your schedule is that if you want to get a bill, the transmittal date is March 5 to get it to the Senate. So any House bills need to be off the floor if you're going to have to try to get them done in time to get out of here on our sign-e-die target date. So March 5 is our target date for transmittal of all bills that we hope to get finished up.
Well, that's good, because then they'll have a whole weekend to work on it.
Yeah.
Because that's a Monday, right?
Yeah.
What's the best thing about the tax cut bill?
Well, that it finally gives some tax relief. You know, every year we get a different tax bill. One gets sent to the Senate, and sometimes it comes back different. Sometimes it doesn't go anywhere. And this is finally the year where we're getting basically $100 million. I know it's called $200 million, but compliance cost us $100 million. So it's an additional $100 million tax cut that will become to the citizens of Idaho.
Compliance with what the Fed is doing is kind of a normal thing, right? We have to do that pretty much every year.
We don't have to. There's been a few times where we've not complied on stuff because the financial hit to the state would be severe. Mm-hmm. But generally we do, because that way the numbers that you're submitting on your Idaho return are the same type of numbers that you're submitting on the federal return.
Tax bill, the senator passed, House passed the Senate, but narrowly.
It passed the committee.
The committees, yeah.
Yeah.
Narrowly, though, at one vote on each side, right?
Yeah, it was a 5-4 vote yesterday late afternoon. And so it's now going to go to the whole Senate, and we'll have a chance to vote on it probably within the next week for sure.
Well, the representative said that, you know, as long as there's no as long as it doesn't hurt the state in some way, that we usually comply with what the Fed's doing. Now this adds another, or this subtracts actually another $100 million from that. Is the state still going to be okay as far as money that we need?
Well, I think it will be. This is a unique time right now. You've got the federal tax cut that added some money to the state of Idaho that we can work with. You've got the governor, the House, and the Senate pretty much on the same page as far as seeing a tax bill that we can support. People would like to see some different parts of it, or maybe a grocery tax piece. But we're looking next year. There's three candidates running for governor that I know of that want to repeal the grocery tax. So I think a lot of those in favor of the grocery tax just said, well, we'll get that the next bite. This is something we can get right now. And it is tax relief. The question on if we have enough money to fulfill our needs, that's the other piece that's interesting. The economy is growing. No one's anticipating that we're going to have a reduction in tax revenue this next year. So this is a good time to take what I think is a pretty good size cut out of the revenue for the state.
Whenever you have a surplus like this, people kind of line up with their hands out, right? How do you determine who, if any, gets the money that's left over?
Well, everybody does. When they see a surplus, everybody comes with a big increase. You know, requesting 8-10% increases in all the agency budgets and stuff like that. we've made commitments to education, and we're keeping those commitments. They're going to get an additional $100 million again this year. And so over that five-year plan, we've continued to honor those commitments. When we made those initial commitments, we were a little nervous about some of the years going forward, whether the revenue was going to be there or not. And this time the revenue has come, and so we've honored those commitments. But I think our job is to hold some of those agencies in line and to give some pushback to make sure they're not just, you know, it's all extra money and some of it should go back to the people who are earning it.
They all really believe they need it, though, right?
I've never seen an agency that said, I can't use more money.
Exactly.
And this is the time when you have excess tax revenue that you can get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting about $32 million, I believe, into the rainy day fund for schools. So that's almost a savings account. Sometimes it's just nice to take a one-time expenditure off the table so you don't create ongoing expenditures that can cause you trouble down the road.
One-time expenditures have that propensity,
ongoing,
right, to become ongoing.
Yeah, they do become ongoing. But I always think of a good thing that the speaker has always said. He says, it's not the bad years that destroy a farmer, it's the good years.
But I think even if you look up the word conservative, you find out if you have a few extra dollars in your pocket, you're not immediately, you know, looking through the stores to find something you don't need to buy it with.
That's true. Yep.
And then there's another side to that, and that is Health and Welfare Department budget continues to grow, and we're in good times. You know, I'm suggesting that we need to look at ways to maybe look at our poverty programs differently to help more people move out of poverty, because the people who pay taxes in Idaho are the ones that have jobs. So the more people you have with jobs, that strengthens your tax base. And I think that's an issue we need to be looking at right now also.
We are talking with Senator Stephen Thane and Representative John Vanderwood on a Majority Thursday.
You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI.
We are back. It is Majority Thursday on Idaho Talks Live, and we have Representative John Vanderwout from District 22 in Nampa, who is the House Majority Caucus Chair, and also Senator Stephen Thane from District 8 in Emmett. And we have been talking about the budget and, of course, reducing taxes in the state of Idaho, and part of the current tax bill has been criticized a little bit because it looks like people with larger families will have to pay more to the state of Idaho. But, okay, how does that work? It works out, though, right?
Well, I think it does. And this is one of the questions that I had, and I asked Senator Vick, who's on the Revenue Committee, what he thought about that. And he said, well, people with the $50,000 adjusted gross income that have three to five kids have mm-hmm. are going to pay more in state taxes, about $322 if you have three children, but they're going to pay $3,100 less in federal taxes. So on the net, everyone's going to pay less taxes if you include the federal and the state.
The Senate Education Committee taking up the science standards 3 o'clock this afternoon. A vote is likely. The committee took testimony last week. All seemed to favor approving the standards. What do you expect to happen this afternoon?
No, I'm not sure. You know, the House had already had taken up those standards, and they removed a small section of it. There's been a lot of publicity going out that they took out climate change mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but that's not what they've done. They've just modified a small section of the science and have adapted almost all the other regulations that have references to climate change and so on. So hopefully the Senate will concur with what the House has done so that we have the same standards from both sides of the body. But what's been in the paper and what's been in the news is not a real reflection of what actually happened.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I chair the rules. I'm vice chair of education, so I know something a little bit about what's going to happen this afternoon, though I don't necessarily know how my committee is going to vote. But I think it will be very similar to what the the House did. Talked with Superintendent Ybarra and got her input. And so I don't think there's really much controversy in the legislature. There seems to be more outside the legislature. But like Representative Van der Wilde says,
tempest in a teapot, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. There's we want our kids to think about things and explore, and we haven't controlled or removed anything from the curriculum that like we've been accused of. So
another thing that was in the news this past week, and I'll ask you about this, kind of weird. So, some students showed up, and I guess they were unannounced to talk to, among other people, Dan Foreman. And he was recorded maybe being a little terse with them. How often do people show up to talk to you unannounced, and how do you usually receive that?
For me, most of the time, if they come up, they'll go through my secretary and make an appointment. I have not had somebody, you know, just come into my office. But, you know, I have a secretary because I'm the caucus chairman. A lot of the other legislators, especially in the House, do not have that buffer or that person that arranges your schedule a little bit. I did have an incident earlier in the year where it was Teen Lobby Day, and I had some in my office that I thought were not very respectful either. But, I mean, you know, I was able to control my train of thought and my words to the extent that it didn't create an issue. And I think that's what we have to do. You know, we're going to get confronted. We're going to get challenged. And it's how we respond and how we conduct ourselves that makes the difference.
And I have people come unannounced fairly often. Usually I'll visit with my secretary and see if they can come in. I said, sure, Ed, you know, if I'm able, and I usually am. But I really think it's important to maintain respect. One of the reasons that we don't have as much violence in Idaho as some other states is because we're trying to, you know, I'm myself and a lot of other legislators and a lot of the teachers and everybody on the state of Idaho is trying to maintain a respectful environment where people can express their opinions. We can express ours back. We don't have to agree, but we need to stick to the issues and state our opinions in a logical manner, respectfully.
I got about a minute left. Are schools safe in Idaho?
Yeah, I believe so. But in light of what's happened nationally, we need to be looking at that and making sure they are. I mean, you can't have somebody walking into the school with you know, an automatic rifle and then walk back out again like what happened in Florida. I mean, that's the key. Yeah, you've got to have good security there still, because it only takes one.
So we have a division that has done about 285 school checks, and so we're in fairly decent shape.
Right.
Need to keep working on it.
Gentlemen, thank you.
All right, thanks, gentlemen.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Okay, let me see if I can figure this out. When they came up with the no texting while driving law, we said, well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, obviously you shouldn't text while you're driving, but there's already a law against inattentive driving, right?
Right.
Okay, so that was really already covered. However, I suppose that if you don't make it exactly about texting, that you don't get a ticket for it or arrested or whatever unless you rear in somebody or drive up on the sidewalk or hit a parked car.
Or do any number of things that are already illegal.
Any number of things that indicated you were not driving carefully. So anyway, they passed the thing about not texting and driving, but that was difficult to enforce. Simply because, you know, if somebody's driving around and they're holding the phone down by their leg and the policeman can't see it, so he's not going to pull somebody over for texting and driving. And it was the same thing forever, that, you know, only if it turned out they found out they were texting when they had the accident, then you'd be in trouble for it. Okay. So now they're probably going to get rid of the texting while driving law, and instead they're going to pass something that would prohibit you from talking on a handheld cell phone at all while driving, which I guess it makes sense because, you know, anything can be a distraction, of course,
right.
And talking on the phone can be a distraction, and you probably, if it's a handheld phone, then you're probably using one hand to hold it to your ear.
And that is, again, the law.
Yeah. You know, I mean, most phones now, you know, have a speaker function where you can just put it in the cup holder or whatever, but, or, you know, put it on the, attach one of those little Velcro things to your dash or whatever. Mm-hmm. However, there are people, too, and they have the mountings for these at different stores I've seen where you can, if you have even like a large phone or even an iPad, they have things that will mount it to your dash.
Yep.
So you can see it from, well, from the driver's seat, which just seems like a bad idea unless you happen to be stopped.
Again, it's distracting you.
Yeah, it happened to be stopped at a light or a stop sign or in a parking lot or someplace where you're not actually driving.
Mm-hmm. I have the Bluetooth, which is, quote, hands-free.
Right.
So, I mean, you can just talk. It's like you'd be talking to a passenger.
Yeah.
In your car. Is that a distraction? See, I'm kind of open on that. I think it kind of is.
And I think it kind of depends on the person, too.
Yeah.
It's like how
you're arguing with the guy on the phone. It could be a big distraction.
Okay, that's true. And it depends on what you're doing and, you know, how intensely or whatever. But let's say that you're at work and you know people who can do one thing at a time very well but can't do two things at a time and get either one of them done for a week.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know those
people. Well, yes, and they're fine. They just have their own way of working. But some people are like that. Some people can multitask, and some people really should not try.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go to Mark.
Chew the gum, then go for a walk.
Let's go to Mark of Napa. Mark.
Yeah, good morning, guys. When you mentioned inattentive driving, they could arrest you for that, but inattentive driving is a much more serious charge. I know for what I speak because they gave me a ticket, and I wanted to do it for inattentive driving, and I fought it or whatnot, and the prosecuting attorney said, well, if you don't take our deal, we can put you in jail, we can fine you more, we can give you probation.
Wow.
You know, that's in the statutes, and that was exactly my thought. Wow, are you kidding me? On a traffic charge, this is what you do? I says, and that probation is $50 a month. I says, well, this is nothing but a money-raising scheme as far as I can see. So anyway, the inattentive driving is about one step below reckless driving in Idaho. In other states, it isn't that way, or it is equal to that. I know where I came from years ago or whatnot, inattentive driving was not that big of a deal, but out here, I guess it's the second coming of Christ. So that's all I got.
All right.
In Wisconsin, they just said, whoopsie, you betcha.
Yeah. Wow. So, serious deal.
In
accidents now, what they do, one of the first things they do is check your cell phone and
see if you were on it.
See what time you were making a call. And if you were making a call while you had the accident.
Or texting.
You got some splaining to do.
Especially if they ask you if you were texting and you said no.
Yeah.
Now, they're
never a good idea to lie.
Well, that's true.
Because nobody's very good at it.
Yeah, well, that's also true. It's a strange court system we have in just a few ways. You can be found guilty of something after you've lied about it and said you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be found guilty of something that you have admitted to doing. And your sentence, whatever it is, whether it's jail or something smaller, will be considerably different.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently you made them mad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a good idea.
And that whole take a deal, it's the best thing that's going to happen to you. Plead guilty or you're going to go to jail for a long time. Well, that's where they get that Alford plea,
mm-hmm.
which says, okay, it will admit that the evidence looks bad, and I probably won't win my court case, especially with, you know, who.
But I'm
who,
not admitting
who,
guilt.
Who you've assigned to me, but I'm not going to admit guilt.
Yeah. In the United States, 9 people die daily in road accidents involving distracted driving, such as texting on a cell phone. 9 people daily. Such road crashes also maim a reported 1,153 daily.
Oh, wow.
Daily.
See, oh, if not 9 die, that sounds like, well, you know, it's fairly isolated. Yes, and then another 1,153 are maimed.
18% of all fatal motor vehicle crashes involved distracted driving in 2012. The Pew survey indicates 40% of teenagers report to have been in cars when the drivers endangered their lives by using a cell phone while driving. So don't do that.
I wonder if they have any statistics on how many accidents occur when every driver was doing exactly what they should have been.
Senator Marv Hagedorn is on the line. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Paul Jake. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha.
You know, you just read some very interesting statistics, but those statistics are 6 years old.
They are.
Imagine today's cell phones have so many more capabilities. And having been involved with the texting and driving bills that we have done for the last 10 years, try to define that. One of our biggest problems is that cell phones or smartphones do so much more now, and our current law just covers texting.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is watching YouTube on their cell phone, that's not against the law.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly, because the law says texting and driving is against the law. So the officers have to prove that you were texting, and if you were not texting, they can't write you a citation.
And that's the current law.
That's the current law that we put into place, I want to say, about 2012. And we did that as an infraction because, as your previous caller said, inattentive driving is a misdemeanor, and a misdemeanor has a much higher threshold for fines and jail time. And the last thing we need to do is put somebody in jail for texting. And so that's why we did the texting and driving as an infraction. And this distracted driving bill is going to basically replace the texting and driving, but it's going to include everything else that these smartphones can do now.
Yeah. In your opinion, Bluetooth, distraction, big distraction, little distraction, no distraction?
I think it can be a distraction. I think a lot of things can be a distraction. But like you said, it's as much of a distraction as someone sitting in a car and you having a discussion with them, I think. So, I mean, you could take this to an extreme level, and I don't think anybody wants to do that. But cars are being built safer year after year after year. And we lost 65 people in Idaho last year due to someone using an electronic device. Now, that wasn't necessarily the person that died wasn't using the electronic device, but maybe the person that killed them was. So this is just not all about us as drivers. This is about everyone that's on the road, whether you're crossing the street, whether you're driving, whether you're using a bicycle. Distracted driving is killing Idahoans, and we've got to put some sideboards on it.
Okay, any new laws on the horizon?
Other than the distracted driving, oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. we're in session to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, in particular about driving.
About driving, yeah.
The only other one that I'm aware of is changing the speed limit on the freeways.
Yeah.
And, you know, making that. And I have mixed feelings on that. We had some briefs from, I believe it was Michigan, where they did some studies on driving and differential speed limits. And when you had those higher differential speed limits, you had much, much higher accident rate.
Yeah.
And so I think it's something that we really need to consider.
Thank you for checking in this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Senator Marf Hagedorn. 917.
KBOI News Time, 922, Idaho Talks Live.
Got a lot of phone action. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, about a year and a half ago, I got rear-ended. And I really think the gal was texting, and the policeman didn't check for it.
Really?
And, you know, I was totally stopped sitting on Fairview just east of Eagle Road. She hit me at 35 miles an hour.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, did about $8,000, but her insurance company picked up the tab, so I guess all's well. I only lost about 3 weeks of my truck, but anyway, I do a lot of driving in this town, and I see a lot of things as I'm driving, and you know, I make mental notes of things. And, you know, about 95% of all cars are occupied by one person.
True.
And now they're being occupied by two people, one on the phone and one in the driver's seat. And it's not all of them, but I'll tell you, there's more than 50% of the people that drive that are on the phone.
Well, you can tell them. They don't, you know, they don't, especially the ones that are texting, because the light will turn green and they don't do anything.
Yeah. There was a guy last night. I'm headed out Chidman Boulevard going east, you know, 5 o'clock. Lots of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is on the phone, and he darts out between traffic and puts himself in between. And I thought, what an idiot. And then I got up alongside of him, and there he was on his phone. And then he turned off. But it's very aggravating. I gave him a horn a couple times because he was driving erratically because he was on the phone.
Yeah.
And people just don't get it. I mean, how many people have to die because of a conversation?
Yeah, and I don't know what you can do. Well, you can make the fines significantly.
Here's the problem, though, Paul, Jay, and Chris. It's the enforcement. I mean, the numbers are so huge that it's going to be less than 1% that they catch. And, you know, maybe that'll be enough of a deterrent. But, I mean, if a death isn't a deterrent enough, I mean, what good is the law going to do?
Good point.
I guess we could say the same about the guns in school, huh?
Yeah.
Or cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, it's snowing. I wonder how many people are on the phone today.
Well, a lot of people are on the phone saying, boy, is it snowing out here.
Hopefully they're not driving, huh?
Yeah, hopefully not. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
We keep running into the situation where we're going to turn left at an intersection where there are lights.
Yeah.
But there's not a turn lane, and there's no arrow. So they're just regular lights. And so we get out there into the intersection waiting to turn left, and there are cars coming in, and all of a sudden the lights change. And so we ought to,
and you're hung out there.
And we're hung out there. And 3 or 4 seconds after the light changes, somebody still comes straight through, and that person will be on the phone most of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Let's go to Dallas. Dallas, good morning.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, just calling in about this phone thing. You know, I drive a truck around Boise, and DOT mandates that you use earpiece, which I'm on now.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I see people texting, YouTubing, Facebooking, and even today in this terrible traffic, I'm seeing it in the bumper-to-bumper terrible traffic terrible driving in the snow. People on Facebook, texting, everything. And it is an enforcement thing. They really need to enforce it more.
And make the fine substantial, so you don't want to get another ticket.
Well, yeah, they need to bump up the fine. I mean, don't make it a felony, but, I mean, you need to make it a fine where it's not just a slap on the wrist or they just ignore it.
Yep.
It's a problem.
Good stuff. Thanks,
anyway,
Dallas.
Have a good day.
You too. Later. Can you believe that, people, today, in the snow?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, me too. Pretty easily, actually.
That's why I'm going to keep sitting right here.
Yeah. We're indoors and relatively safe.
And warm.
Unless somebody drives up the stairs. It's 9:27. All right. Idaho Talks Live back in session. Paul, Jay, and Chris at 9:37. Let's go to Jason of Star. Jason, good morning.
Hi there, guys. Good morning. I agree with the premise or what they're talking about with the safety issues and the driving. But I also realize there's a certain amount of subjectivity if there is an issue or an incident where they're trying to determine if someone was distracted or on their phone or, hey, what were you looking at when you looked down? And there could be a lot of room for maybe misjudgment. But I also know this world we're in with technology just keeps moving so fast. Myself and probably many people are actually very dependent on the technology just for our jobs by nature. Our jobs may be like mobile offices. We have appointments. You need GPS, your Garmin, whatever. And you couldn't even get around or do your job without it. And yeah, I think even if you could afford the fancy car with the internet and the things on the screen, no matter what, there could be room for considered to be distracted driving, but you couldn't even have the job or the business. And my coworkers and I couldn't do our job if we couldn't even find our way to our appointments with GPS.
Well, even on vacation, I was on vacation over the long holiday weekend, went to a place I hadn't stayed before, and you know, you have your phone on the GPS, and you got somebody yelling instructions to you to get to. Yeah, I mean, really, and you couldn't get there. I mean, it really, instead of being a distraction, it helps you not be a distraction because you know where you're going.
Right. Like, in my job, and we may have like 70 people out in the field, we couldn't get to the appointments with the patients without the GPS telling us where to go. And we are basically a mobile office, and timeliness matters because it's medical things. There's phone calls, there's emails. And I don't want distracted driving, but I just know there's a certain aspect to this that could impose upon other people, just like the firemen and the cops are kind of usually left out of these rules because of the nature of their job.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that people in this day and age, because of the technology, kind of overestimate how good they are at multitasking simply because they've already done it so much anyway?
Yes. My job is, I mean, we would fail in the home health business if you couldn't multitask and use technology out in the field. But not everybody can do it. Some are very good. And the texting does concern me. I tend to use voice features. And when I send it off, I realize later that it garbled everything I said.
Yeah.
But it keeps my eyes on the road, at least. But I do see the eyes down, looking at a screen, you know, with the little thumbs going, and I'm like, okay, that's really distracted driving right there.
I agree. Good points, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
And he does make a good point because if you're going somewhere, like when we were down in Scottsdale, if you're going somewhere you haven't been before and you're on those freeways down there doing 60 miles an hour or more, and it's telling you where to go, you know, in 2 miles, take this. And
there was
really handy.
I forget which company it was, one of the car companies, but and it was one of the more expensive ones. But they came out with, but 2 or 3 years ago, they said they were developing something where anything you would normally read on the dash, and it was going to be so much safer because you never had to take your eyes off the road because everything you would normally read on the dash was going to, you could read it out electronically on the windshield. And then someone figured out that was probably an even worse idea.
Yeah, because, it seems like a really bad idea.
You know, you can either focus here or you can focus there.
Back to the phones.
But you don't want the road to just be part of the background.
Yeah, in the background, yeah. Back to the phones and John. John, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just kicking around the house and had to call in this one again.
Mm-hmm.
The last guy that was just on, I kind of know what he was trying to say, but there's been several studies on quote unquote multitasking, and it's a joke. It doesn't really exist. You whatever it's almost directly opposes your ability to task on one thing when you subtract some of it and put it over somewhere else. It's not multiplied, it's divided. Like 10% of 100 things does not, I mean, 10% of 10 things does not equal 100%. You still have just 10%. The reason why I called, though, was I drive for a living and for the last 20 years, and it seems like in the last 5 years, the driving of the people who are driving has just become atrocious. And I don't mean that they're jerks necessarily, although that is increased quite as well. But most of it is ignorance, I think. I don't know where these people were raised. I don't know how they were taught. But for one instance, and I'll try to keep it to four-way stops, they don't understand how to use a four-way stop. And one instance, I want to get this out first. This one lady, and I've noticed several people doing this, so I'm not going to pin it on one person, got to a four-way stop, and there was nobody behind her, so she wanted to text on her phone, and she waved everybody else on.
Oy.
And then I get up to there, and it's her turn, and she looks up, and there's no one behind her still, so she waves me on and everybody else as well. So now we're having a whole new rule for a four-way stop.
Yeah.
Instead of just obeying the rules that are there and go and get down the road, you're causing your self-interest, self-appointed interest in narcissism seems to mean that I can do whatever I want on the road as long as I know what's going on that no one else does. It's just crazy. It's just gotten crazy.
Yeah.
I like what you're saying, because there are set rules at a four-way stop about who goes next and who does this. And some people think it's a politeness thing, and it's not.
Not at all.
I knew a guy that was from Minnesota, and he said that people were so polite there that if four Minnesotans came to a four-way stop at the same time, they could all be 30 minutes late for something.
So yeah. What does that say about their mindset? Why are they thinking that? Well, where did they get this? How did that get injected into driving?
Good question.
That's it, guys. See ya.
Thanks, John. All right, let's go to Jim. Jim, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Good.
Well, yeah, I'm sitting here watching the snow, not on the highway.
Good.
In my younger days, yes, I used to love to drive. And I guess it's all been said. Well, one thing, you know, in the cars, and it's been said, too, on the dashes. There's so much crap, the cars themselves are distracting.
Yeah.
So remember the good old days? I call it the before times. The before times, before computers, but you know, when there were heavier cars, when people actually watched the scenery and watched the road.
Was this when America was great, or was this a different time?
Well, make America great again.
Yeah.
Now, you know, people can read that into, you know, Trump thing, you know, to be distracting just a tad bit. You know, I don't think Trump is meaning go back to slavery and all this BS. No, he's just meaning when everybody pulled together. But anyway.
But my dad, I can remember when he used to drive, he'd look at a pretty mountain or something like that, you know, and be driving off the road looking at the mountain.
If it were up to me, I'd do away with billboards.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we should have scenery.
Yeah.
And my brother and I took a trip down to New Orleans a while back. You know, you should drive through Louisiana. There's nothing there. There's growth on the side of the roads. No billboards or any of that stuff. But, you know, back when I took driver's ed in the 60s, if we knew what would be happening now, we'd never believe it, you know? Well, we couldn't imagine phones, and we couldn't believe people would be so stupid to be on the phone while they were driving. But then again, we had DUIs and drunk drivers then, too, so. But anyway.
Good stuff. I don't know.
You know, life should be slower.
Yes.
I mean, is it that important to make the buck immediately?
Apparently.
Depends on who you're asking, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it does depend on who you're asking.
Take care, you all.
Thanks, Jim.
I'm forced to say no.
9:40.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jay, and Chris, 9:50 on a Thursday morning.
Got some instant messages. Mike of Boise says, guys, technically, what we commoners call multitasking is actually quick change tasking. Yes, there are some physical actions such as walking and smiling that you can do at the same time, but the human mind can only focus on one course of action at a time.
What does he call it? Quick change?
Quick change tasking. Where you're doing this, then you're doing that, then you're back to this, then you're back to that.
Okay.
See, I can remember being in school and doing homework in front of the television. And the next day, I can guarantee you, I remembered everything that was on television.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Dave of Boise says, has anybody ever seen all the distractions in any cop car? There is no training you can do that will allow a human to look at two different areas at the same time. So will that become illegal for the cops?
You know, and that has been taken to court on more than one occasion.
It's like our caller was talking about work. There's some things you just have to be able to do more than one thing at a time, or back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
And here. Bob says, and you've talked about this a lot. Bob says, Chris, how many times have you seen a parent turning into the backseat of a vehicle to do something involving little kids in car seats? I wish I had a dollar for every time that happens. You've mentioned that several times over the...
Yeah, and I've always been an advocate of don't put your kids in the backseat. That's how they get forgotten and burn up in a 100-degree car, and that's, you know, like you said right there, it takes your attention 180 mm-hmm. degrees away from where you should be looking.
Another Bob says texting and browsing while driving should carry the same penalties as DUI. That is, if DUI enforcement is about safety and not income and personal attitudes. Texting is more dangerous than, it says D&D. Oh, drinking and driving.
Drinking and driving, yeah.
From now, I was going to say, it's more dangerous than Dungeons and Dragons. Why not stigmatize and penalize it the same way? So, yes, drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Texting and drinking and driving are both dangerous.
Yeah, anything that removes your attention from the road ahead, not mm-hmm. good. Not
what's,
good.
What's that in the road ahead?
Yeah.
David of Boise says, are the youths and certain adults in denial that there was life before cell phones? Everybody got along just fine without them. If you're expecting, well, unless, you know, people were lost and died. If you're expecting such an important call, then answer it when it's safe to do so. Pull over in a safe place and talk all you want. But
I do that a lot when I'm driving.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, pull over.
Yeah. But I ask you, don't endanger my life and my loved ones' lives because of your busy lifestyle. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, too.
I mean, everybody that's called and written in this morning has good points.
Bonnie of Boise says, lived in a state with a cell phone ban, saw plenty of drivers still using phones.
Of course.
Who is supposed to catch all these lawbreakers? Do we need to hire more police, rather they stop speeding trucks on I-84? Being a state cop or a traffic cop, I've been told by several people, is like fishing. You're not going to catch every fish, but you are going to get one here and there.
Yeah. True. And everybody said, she's texting when they're driving. Did you see that? She was texting. Wonder how many times they're right. Mm. Or they may think somebody's texting.
A lot.
And it might be, a lot.
Of course, the people who say that might be people who text and drive a lot. So they're, they're projecting. Don of Boise says, I don't know why. By the way, in the last couple of years, more people have claimed to be an expert on psychology when it comes to projecting than I've ever heard in my entire life combined before that. Anyway, Don of Boise says, I don't know why they are trying to enact a law on driving while on the phone. It will just be another law that drivers ignore and police do nothing about. Have you seen how many drivers speed, run red lights, not signal? Yes, if you're in traffic, you do see that.
Yeah.
Unless you're texting or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm being distracted by the clock. It's 9:55. Idaho Talks Live is over for today. We'll see you tomorrow for an Open Phones Friday and a Minority Friday.